Let us turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we'll be reading together the whole of the chapter as our scripture reading, specifically looking, we'll be looking at the whole of the chapter as our text as well. So let us read together Genesis chapter 15. Hearing together from the word of Almighty God. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 years old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other, the birds. However, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish that nation. They serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. When the sun had set and darkness had fallen, a smoking fire pot with a blazing torch appeared and passed between the pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said, To your descendants I give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, what we read in our passage of God's Word this morning may seem very foreign to us, and it is. And yet, as we read it, we have to understand what God is doing. Abraham did right away. Notice what happened. Abram brought all these, verse 10, cut them in two and arranged the halves opposite each other. Had God said anything about that? No. Abram knew immediately when God said, Bring these animals, what was going on. And we're like, What? What's going on here is God making a covenant with Abram. That's what we call a self-maledictory oath. And what that is that those who would be inside of this covenant would say, Make me like those things if I break this covenant. And we're going to look into what that means for us and for Abram as we continue in this passage. And so as we look at this passage, we see that God swears by himself to fulfill his covenant. We have to understand that. When we think about the covenant with Abraham, perhaps we think, well, Abram had something to do. Let's look at this oath. We'll see what's going on here. And we must understand that God promises to fulfill the covenant on our behalf as well. we don't bring anything to God, and God says, okay, Grossman, you got the right ticket, you get into heaven. God gives everything for us that we need for salvation. God swears by Himself to fulfill His covenant. As we look at this passage, we'll see two things. First of all, in verses 1 through 6, we see the promise of Abram's great reward. And in verses 7 through 20, we take a look at God's oath of that reward. So first of all, verses 1 through 6, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, don't be afraid, I'm your shield, your exceeding great reward. And Abram says, where's my reward? I'm going to give what I have is going to go to my servant and not even to my own son. Now, as we look at this passage, the first question we might have is, what is Abram? What is Abram's great reward? God is Abram's great reward. God is our great reward as believers. We must see that Abram's faith is not perfect, and as we've had opportunity to look at Genesis, we've already had good opportunity to see that. Yet God says that God, He is Abram's wages for his obedience. Where might we look for a reward? As believers, we look to God. He is the one who supplies all of our needs, not we ourselves, and not what we can do on this earth. Yet there's much more here. Abram responds in disbelief. The circumstances of his life didn't seem to indicate that Abram's family line would continue after his death. He says, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and my heir is of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Abram is looking at things from a physical perspective, for physical continuation. But we must understand that God provides more than just this physical world. God provides for us both physically and spiritually, and not just for a few years, but eternally. The writer of the Hebrews writes of Abraham, Hebrews 11, verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is of God. Abram looked forward, even as we look forward, to the new heavens and the new earth. God is in control of eternity. While we may desire to make a mark on this world for good, we must understand that it is not for us to accomplish this, but it is for God to provide. God's reward doesn't always look the way we want it to. Whether that be riches or health or long posterity, God rewards our obedience both in time and eternity. But that reward may even be more testing. Testing to show God's glory through our lives. Now, testing may not sound like a great reward, but when we think about the outcome of our obedience in testing to God's glory, it is a great reward. Solomon in Ecclesiastes says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Even through testing, even through trials. Perhaps some of you have run into Johnny Erickson Tata. God has used further testing in her life to glorify Himself. And as we continue to read about Abraham, God tests him again and again to His own glory with Abram's love for his son. And so God not only provides for His glory, but God provides for Abraham. God provides exactly what Abram was looking for. We read in verses 4 and 5, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the number of the stars if you're able to number them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. Continuing reading at verse 18. On the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I will give this land from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. And he starts naming countries that we're not real familiar with. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Jebusites. All the people around would be under the rule of this kingdom God promises. God made Abram into a great nation, but much more than that. Then he brought him outside, as we said, if you're able to number the stars of the heavens, you'll be able to number your children. God is providing for Abram an inheritance. He was promising and providing the salvation of those who would believe on Jesus Christ. Romans 9, verses 6 through 9. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abram. But in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time I will come and Sarah shall have a son. God has set up the provided inheritance not only in the people that by natural generation are the children of Abram, but all those who are believing are Abram's seed. We are Abram's children by faith. We read in Genesis 15, verse 6, he believed the Lord and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed the Lord. It was accounted for righteousness. And that is our salvation as well. We believe God. And of course, we're told in Ephesians chapter 2 that that's even a gift of God. We believe God, and God counts it to our account as righteousness. It is not something that we say, okay, God, I give you this, you give me faith or salvation. No, God gives us all of it. But Abram believed God, and we, by God's grace, believe God, and he counts it to our account righteousness. Abram's further reward is his inheritance is in God, in his eternal life in Jesus Christ. Abram was worried about his posterity, where his inheritance would go. And we have seen that that inheritance is in God and not of natural generation. We as believers are called to trust God in his plans for the earth and for eternity. Our inheritance is not only physical. God certainly provides for us greatly on this earth. But God provides for us much more in eternity. Now, as we continue in our passage, we want to turn to verses 7 through 21. We see that God makes an oath of that great reward. God's oath is of our final reward as well. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of Chaldeas to give you this land to inherit it. And we can read all through that. But in the fourth generation, they're going to return. And God promises all of this. Now, it would seem that God's saying it should be enough for Abram. This promise of God. What God speaks is true. God speaks and it happens. We read in verse 7, then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the land of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. But how often do we read the word of God, his promises to us, and we're like, okay, yep, sure, why not? We read it. We perhaps know it. But do we really believe it sometimes? God's promise is yea and amen. It is certain. God promises Abram a continuation of his previous promise. The land, the seed, the Savior. The promise of eternal consequences. And God makes it all the more firm. As I said, the story may seem very strange to us today. As I said, it's a self-maledictory oath. God invokes a curse upon himself if he does not fulfill this covenant. That is what the writer to the Hebrews, since he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. Now, as I said, it's an oath that was practiced at that time. It was something that Abram was so familiar with. When he heard about it, he said, okay, that's what's going on, and got it ready. The idea being that the two parties of the covenant would walk through the cut halves of the animals and thereby say, if I do not fulfill the terms of this agreement, may I be made like these animals. But who walked through the halves? Reading in verse 17 and 18, And it came to pass, when the sun went down and it was dark, that behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram. Did Abram? No. God walked. In fact, we have probably a picture of God the Father and God the Son here, walking through these parts. Man, we know, would easily break that oath. We talked about that in the catechism. We daily increase our guilt. We fail. Every time we think we're doing okay, we fall apart. But God swears by His very existence that He will provide Abram with an inheritance. And that same oath reminds us that God provides us. He has sworn by Himself and will not relent that Christ will save. And so we have been given that same eternal inheritance in God. God promises Abram an earthly reward. That which Abram desired, God promised. The sun was going down, we read, "Certainly know that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years. The nation whom they serve I will judge." They return. We have the promise of the land. On the same day the Lord made the covenant with Abram, we read, verses 18, "To your descendants I have given this land." The promised land. And of course, that promised land on that earth, on the earth, is a picture for us of our promised land of eternal life in the new heavens and the new earth. God's promise is more than just a continuing line on this earth, a little bit of land perhaps to call home. God's promise is eternal. God's promise to Abram is that he would have a promised seed, not in his servant, but in his own line. Not through Hagar, as we see in the next chapter. Abram took it in his own hands. But in the child that God would provide, Isaac. And through him, Jesus, our Savior. God provides the fulfillment of his covenant. Abram thought that he could hasten this on a little bit. But God promises the seed. Notice, Sarah shall have a son, we're told. God provides the fulfillment. God swears by Himself that He will fulfill this, that covenant, His covenant. And we see the greatness of this covenant. I think we need to stand in awe that God swears by Himself, by His very existence, that He will fulfill our salvation. While this may go past as we consider it initially, and say, "Wow, that's weird. Okay, next chapter." It ought not. Because God is swearing by His very existence to save His people. That God would bring Abram's inheritance about to bring about Jesus Christ and save us from our sins. God swears by Himself to fulfill His covenant. First of all, we looked at Abram's great reward, which is our great reward in God. So often we look for our reward elsewhere, don't we? Well, we want this, we want that, we chase after this, we chase after that. And Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes, "Everything we chase after in this world is grasping for the wind." God is our exceeding great reward. Where do we look for hope? Where do we look for fulfillment in this world? It's in serving God. And we see God's oath of that reward is not just something to pass by. God swears by His very existence that He saves us. And so as we consider our salvation, as we live in this world, we have a certainty. It's not a question. It's not something that we might say, "Well, maybe." We know more certainly than the ground beneath our feet, more certainly than anything on this earth, that Jesus would come, that He has come,
and that He has paid in full the debt which we owe. He has paid it on the cross and before, and bought us not only just a little hope on this earth, and a second try, He has bought us heaven, eternal life, freely. Amen. Let us rise, let us bow before our God in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we stand in awe of Your promise, of Your oath, that You base that oath on Your very existence, that You could swear by none higher, You swore by Yourself, and that You sent Your Son. We praise You for sending Him. We praise You for the sacrifice which He offered. And we praise You that we have an inheritance, that we have a reward in Jesus Christ, an exceeding great reward. And You are our reward. And we pray, O Lord, that we might live our lives based on that fact, to the glory and the honor of Your holy name. We praise You, we thank You. We pray, O Lord, use us to glorify Yourself. We thank You for what Christ has done. And we pray, O Lord, that all of our lives might rise out of that fact of salvation. We pray, O Lord, in thanksgiving to our Savior, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise You, O Jesus Christ, for what You have done. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, for working in us faith in that Savior, that we might have the surety of eternal life in Him alone. We pray this, praying through Jesus Christ, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.